Today, we're going to look at an update on the Department of Energy's plan on legislation table this year. We've had a couple of commitments by the department in the few past years, and unfortunately, those have not been fulfilled. I trust and hope the department is not just going to present that mechanically. They'll have to indicate some explanation and motivation as to why some of the things have not been presented and how do they intend to expedite that. One of the members of things is against the background that, as far as I understand, there are about four urgent pieces of legislation. The ERA amendment, the GEP amendment, and the petroleum product amendment. To an extent, also, there's a bill to amend governance between NERSA itself. Well, given the pressures on NERSA, that is becoming also rather urgent. But we'll hear from the department how far it progress with that. Today also we'll be looking at how we conclude the ISORAM impact study report. As we go forward, come back to the smoking processing. With regard to the overview on the performance of the portfolio committee, can I propose the draw that the report is not in 20? I only had to look at it last night. And there are a couple of things that I'm not happy about following up on that, but it's going to come. But I think we need to also assess ourselves and check how far we've gone about in our work in view of the strategic plan. The last item is definitely just internal issues around consideration and adoption of minutes. Can I then ask the committee secretary to take us through apologies?
Thank you, Chairperson. So the following apologies, Honourable Smother, who was undergoing a medical procedure, and then Honourable Tanao. Then also an apology from the Director General, Michael Binders, and the
gentlemen, from the department, over to you.
Good morning, Honourable Member of the Committee, Chairperson. We would like to thank you very much for the opportunity for us to come and present an overview on the progress of the legislation and the development of the Department of Energy. My name is Daniel Lamo. I'm the Committee Director General of the Ministry of Energy. I'm with my colleague, Mr. Matthews Chang, who is the Director of Electricity and Policy. We're going to make this presentation both of us on the interchange justice of each other. As a start, with your permission, Chairperson, I'm going to request my colleague, Mr. Mehta, just to take us through this week to the program process of the project.
Chairperson, committee, honorable committee members, the House, good morning. Just to say that in terms of the, as our chairperson has mentioned, both are that include also the ISMO maybe before we update, just to say that from the process that started, the Department of Health Government maybe that we follow, just to emphasize in some of the issues that were also touched base on our update and some of the challenges that you have in terms of the whole process of finalization or approval of legislation. If you've been touched upon, what will be I outlining? Just to start this, in terms of the process of legislation, in terms of if you look at that, number one, we start with the entire government process whereby we consult with the different government departments in terms of legislation. Even though most of the time it's a process that we try and push the other dynamics around agreement in terms of some of the changes that need to be taken or some of the proposals on legislation that need to be taken to the parliament or that need to be amended or need to be done. So basically, we start with the debate around the objective of developing or amending the legislation in that regard. And to that extent, we do have intergovernmental consultation depending on the legislation. And to a certain extent, some of the legislation might be chosen on some of the SOEs or some of the main stakeholder on the left. We might check on it to a certain extent and have some input before we even start try and amend the legislation. So this is a purely process of meaning which we can develop at the stage and trying to agree in terms of we need to start developing the legislation. And to a certain extent, checking with the cabinet or the parliament in terms of the need for starting to amend or review the legislation starting with that process. And secondly, there we will then draft it in terms of what we want to achieve and draft the proposed legislation amendment that will then consult with the cabinet to get that set. Then the cabinet will give us the permission to publish the proposed amendment and then to also follow the MEDLAC process. Let me just take time, a bit of a few seconds to explain in terms of the network process, which also to a certain extent affects the view or main delay or frustrate the process of legislation. As you all know, this network to a certain extent is mainly for all stakeholders, which is part of government and businesses and then labor and so on. But we do then follow the process of network, which we usually agree in terms of time. But for the few years, we have seen a bit of a delay, just to say within most of the legislations around the technical process. But also, it's because of the reasons that some of the constituency address like it. And just to say that, to a certain extent, the whole reasoning behind some of the delays with the timing issues is that they need more time to consult. Business will say they have more constituencies. Labor will say that there are other constituencies that are still consulting. So that process then becomes so difficult for us. It then tends to delay some of the process of ultimately having a final proposal. And bearing in mind that this is a very diverse process in terms of stakeholders, it's business, it's labor, it's government. Everyone's coming from the different interests, everyone coming from the different perspectives. So on that regard, it becomes a very serious challenge to a certain extent whereby we have to agree to which then, to a certain extent, we agree to disagree to a certain extent so that we can bring a report to the network. But some of the stakeholders will take a lot of time in terms of getting the legislation agreed upon or disagreed upon on certain principles. So we'll touch base on some of the reporting and some of the legislation and the status of those legislation. And immediately then, we will then take that report to the fiscal advisor for consultation and making sure that the constitutional alignment is the justification thereof. And from there, then, we will get the parliament where we will be the issue of the national assembly. challenges will come, but delay time and some of the power that sits outside the department have not been, and then the department should push a lot from our side, from both as officials and from political members, so that all the flows should be part of the and keep those moves in terms of time. Just I would like to give to my colleagues to start with some of the legislation in terms of the upgrades and the data, and I'll go on other legislation.
I'd like to now deal with the report of the Minister of Health and the MMA. With regard to the strategic focus of this day, it's mainly for the promotion of an efficient community and the state of community infrastructure, including economic growth and leveraging on the available resources. Condition, mostly both that can be compared to the national debt, etc. In terms of the planning of when the table is approved, it is anticipated that it is going to be submitted to cabinet in March, and it is anticipated that the bill will be submitted to parliament in March 2014. With regard to matters related to the progress of today, we can report that during 2012, the Gas Amendment Act bill was presented to Cabinet for approval for public consultation. We got comment that the bill was returned for revision and Cabinet recommendation, which included that we needed to do consultation with the specific government department. The revised bill could not serve before coming up as it was in Congress. It could be a piece of the so the main issue of the informal is to be able to improve the length of the chief people and the others to contribute to the piece of the part. And what has happened now is that consultations with the office of the food law advisor has culminated in the physical presentation of the bill on the 14th of February this year. So, with that, we anticipate that the bill will be coming to cabinet. Thank you. With that, I'd like to call and determine whether I should proceed with the next amendment or the committee members would like to ask questions. Focus of this bill is that it is to set up the scope of the areas that are regulated by the National Nuclear Regulation. It also has to set out the powers and the functions of the National Nuclear Regulation. It also seeks to empower the National Nuclear Regulator in enforcing the act. It also focuses on the alignment to align the definitions in line with the International Atomic Energy Agency glossary of terms and to provide for matters to the data virtue. And in terms of the planning, we plan that this bill will be submitted to Cabinet in March 2013. And then this will be followed by submission to the Parliament in March 2013. Submission to the cabinet, we will be recommending that we request that this will be converted to the other part into the program. With regard to the progress, there is no progress that we can report on now in terms of the bill interfacing with the parliamentary protocol. But I also very much. Thank you.
This legislation is it has been on the paper for 5 months. We have been battling with the NetLab process in terms of completing it. And just to mention that we ultimately have concluded the process at NetLab, but there's a final process of approval. If I may explain that, to say that immediately when the bill went to the NetLab process last year, they created a trust team and they gave timelines and transparent for the trust commission to meet all the stakeholders. And unfortunately, they have requested an extension for up to 6 months around the EU, which has caused a bit of additional time in terms of that because of a lot of consultation and a lot of interest around different constituencies. So, on that regard, the trust team has ultimately signed off from the document in the present, and then the final process that is awaiting the main core or the management committee of NetLab to approve the report to hand it to the minister, and then the department will then take it to a state law advisor process. And we invested in that, and we will be taking the amendment bill to the cabinet and to the parliament. Just to mention that in the electricity regulation amendment bill and national energy regulator bill, the third thing that was created basis for those two legislations, and we run the process parallel. So on that regard, both reports for NERSA and for NERA and ERA, which is electricity regulation amendment and national electricity regulator bill, have been done by the task team. It's just waiting the next meeting, which I think is next week, or to final approval, and to send it to the minister so that you can start with the process of certification. And both bills in that regard need to be almost in the network report, and then we'll be bringing them to the cabinet on the 31st of March. And we're hoping that from this particular process, we will be able to come back to, as we have been working with them all along in terms of all the challenges that we have. I already spoke about the NERA, which is the same process. It's around maybe just to mention that in terms of the strategic focus of those two bills, just to say that in terms of the amendment that's on the bill, it's just to create a regulatory framework on IPP. Actually, power is one of the main projects that we have undertaken as a new project around electricity, around energy that we have in the country. So some of the flaws were not there, but the main focus, the strategic focus, is just on the IPP. So that some of the processes and some of the issues around IPP should be legislated to the government. And mainly in terms of the national energy regulation, the main strategic focus was just to promote the efficiency of the regulation on the energy sector in terms of the government in the regulator, so that we can have more efficient government of the energy sector as a whole, not just the responsibility of the government. And maybe why I mentioned, might have just to mention the Ismo passing, that we know that it's in the process of assigning the process, and the department is complying in all aspects, and we will be depending on the direction that the parliament process of the department goes to follow the process of the parliament. And I'll just point to the control.
Thank you. Just in conclusion, as we have now heard the current situation is, I think the data is 5 people of the currently in the pipeline, but the chapter is in the Israel, the Syrian, the Syrian, the Syrian, the Syrian, the Syrian, the Syrian, the Syrian. And our intention is to ensure that we prioritize
committee of the National Assembly. So once you say parliamentary control committee, it means the select committee and the control committee, doesn't it? The Begemal Assembly.
What is it?
Yeah, I'm one of the members, I'm really itching to go for it, but I still have. I'm really itching for this, so, but I'll keep it.
Let me start with the comment. When checking the electronic legislation of Netflix, we have suggested the powers and functions of Netflix. Yeah, the objects, powers, and functions of the council. It says the council shall 1A, strive to promote the goals of economic growth, participating in economic decision making and social equity. B, seek to reach consensus and conclude agreements and matters pertaining to social and economic policy. C, consider all proposed legislation related to labor market policy before it's introduced in Parliament. D, consider all significant changes to social and economic policy before it is implemented or introduced in Parliament. Fifth, which is the last one, encourage and promote the formulation of coordinated policies of social and economic matters. The reason I'm bringing this section of the Act, I've got a serious concern that if I look at some of the legislation, it's about governance. And the question is why we have to spare those legislation to Netflix. Because it's not significant change in significant, if you are looking to consider D, consider all significant changes to social and economic policy. My problem I have in the department is that you are going to create a situation where Netflix is a clearing house for all legislation that is coming forward. And I think that's an untenable situation. There must be a clear distinction of the roles and powers that have been allocated to Netflix. And let's not confuse issues. If the issues have to deal with governance of NERSA, which is not changing policy in any way, just ensuring, for instance, I don't know the details of the, to amplify my point, if you look at, let's say, this is a hypothetical situation of this. So let's talk about NERSA. Let's say we're doing away with commissioners. We have got the CEO of NERSA. We've got the deputy CEOs of NERSA. So that's the government arrangement, new government arrangement that we are bringing in relation to that. The question is why do we have to take that legislation to Netflix? Because it's not significant changes in political policy. And I think we will be just delaying the work of Parliament unnecessarily by taking things that don't belong to Netflix. And that's my major concern. Because if you look at the National Nuclear Regulator Amendment Bill, the same point can be made here. There's no significant changes in policy that I can see from the strategic focus of the bill that we have put before. Yet, when it comes to issues of ITP, I can concede on that. But there are some instances where it's not justified for taking bills before that level. And that's my concern. The second issue is, if there's no consensus in that level, should we be held ransom to that process? If NetLeg can't reach consensus in 8 months on a bill, is the executive not obliged to take that bill from NetLeg and table it before the House, and in doing so, explain to the House that there's no consensus before NetLeg on this bill? I can take, let me talk about my one bill that I had an experience about in the Portfolio Committee on Friday. There was a bill on the apportionment of the surplus, or the pension surplus. NetLeg couldn't reach agreement on that bill. And the executive took that bill, introduced it into Parliament, and clearly stated before Parliament that there's no consensus in NetLeg on this bill, and they feel that the process has to go on. So I'm just worried that, for instance, on one bill, there's a request for an extension of up to 6 months. I don't know when was it tabled in NetLeg, maybe the debate went on for 6 months or 8 months, and there was a request for an additional 6 months, which ended up being 14 months, more than a year. I'm just raising those concerns because I feel you need to have, as a department, seek serious legal advice on this matter and decide which bills belong to NEDLAC, and don't create a situation where NEDLAC becomes a clearinghouse for all these issues that are not taken so far.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Tim. On page 4, just for the record, can you say that 2012 to 2015 last column? On page 5, I'm just curious on that 1995 amendment. How long has been in the process? And again, I don't know in the same National Nuclear Data. They have written the date of admission in the Parliament 2014. Is that 2016? They have written 2014. You mean what they're saying?
Admission to Parliament 2014.
That one has not yet gone to the state advisor. I take you to the ERA. ERA again in your progress update. NEDLAC is still underway. And your advisor, end of March, and they are suggesting that that will be taken in March 2015. Are you meaning that? So I don't want you to raise expectations and pretend that you can do something that you cannot, if it has not yet gone through the paper as well. I take you again to your page 7. It is the same story there. It is still underway at NEDLAC. It is still going to speak to advisor, and you are saying it is going to come into effect at the end of March. If that comes up to that, are you saying those processes, you are understating that they are going to take 1 month and not able to do that? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. There's two things that strike me here. The one is, in the first two bills, you're saying that you want to submit it to Parliament in March 2014. Well, I mean, I don't know what state the election will be, but I mean, my understanding is if you submit it then, we probably won't be able to process it in time because it probably lapsed. But I'm not sure if that is the most appropriate time to submit it. We either have to look at later this year or early next year. I just think March is probably not the right date, but we would have to discuss that. The other thing is that, I mean, I'm glad to see that the ERA and the NERA is finally coming to us, and I certainly hope that the 31st of March is when it's actually going to be tabled. But the interesting thing about that, and it has some relevance maybe for the resolution lately, is that in the public hearings on the ISMA bill, a number of presenters said, in fact, that we should be looking at these two bills first before we actually consider ISMA. So it's just for our own kind of our planning around the committee and how we operate in terms of this, but perhaps we should then, if it's coming to us soon, look at these two bills and then possibly go back to the ISMA bill to look at what the implications are given these changes there. I just wanted to put that into the pot and something that can maybe discuss. It might be a way out of the kind of current conundrum that we find ourselves with the ISMA bill.
In fact, I think I had already drafted a letter to the leader of government business, that's my invitation with regards to the process of not being approved. In particular, the ERA amendment is believed that it is not free. No problem.
Thank you, Chief Chairperson. I think I'm covered because what I also wanted to say was that what's going to happen if this is today the 20th what will happen if the 31st comes, I mean the 28th or 29th, I'm not sure, comes that they haven't met, what's going to happen? Because really, time is not waiting for us to do. And as we are going for election, we may not be here in November. We might be in our constituency. And when are we going, really going to prove us? Thank you.
Now, and
Honorable Mulatu is trying to legislate something that is definitely, he's 100% correct. And on that regard, it has been a tussle around not just the Department of Energy, but all the departments to a certain extent of what should be consulted, what should not be consulted, and how do we legally define them. The other part is the proactive of NECLEC or some of the constitutions through NECLEC to say that whatever proposal of regulation or any other program or any other legislation in the department, to a certain extent, the NECLEC also sends letters to different departments to request that part of legislation or that part of amendment or program to be discussed as NECLEC. And NERA and NERA is also one of the legislations that they went to an extent that that legislation wanted to be discussed here. Under the different interpretation and different motivations from the Constitution and the legislative assembly, when you talk about NERA and NERA to a certain extent, it affects whether it's a change within the structure of regulatory structure at the NERSA, it affects the way the funded and pricing to a certain extent, that also funds the regulator to a certain extent, and that goes to the quartet of the citizens and also to the government. So that, from that perspective, it then said that the NERSA to a certain extent, they really wanted to spend the department to agree. And also here,
in terms of the approach around IPP, whether it's affecting the whole industry, especially for energy in the making of the economy.
Here, when you talk about putting IPPs in the market, we really needed it to be consulted. And to a certain extent, just to correct the timing issue, if the parliament recalls where we brought the two legislations last year and they approved for the public comment, we sent the public comment to like a month or so. If I recall, it was a little closed around in July and we took it to July to NECLEC. And then by then, the first meeting, it went to the NECLEC then created a subcommittee that will look into details of the NERA and NERA. And the first meeting was at the end of September, which the department has pushed very hard and in line with the chairperson's comments, as the department has tried to do with NERSEC. Even the minister wants to make a presentation at NERSEC to show them how, as all the constituencies to try and progress the legislation in line with the expectation of the parliament. Just to find that when it comes to technicalities, there's a bit of delay and also the first time because of they have made the constituency says they have passed constituency consulted before they even get a position. And with in line with what Honorable Mojo is saying, we actually see them. Some of the issues we do agree, some of the issues we don't agree, that it could be mentioned on the report, that will then take it to the cabinet, and then we will mention all those issues in publication. And to a certain extent, even one of the clauses that Honorable Mojo has read, it talks about an agreement, and the challenge that always arises around the committees and different to what extent we agree, because it's kids from different houses, from different planets, and they have to converge somewhere to agree. And some of the constituents who really doesn't become so racist to change their mandate that they are given by the mandate. That's where then, as some of the members of NERSEC can say, let's agree to disagree, then we mention that on the report. And it's so unfortunate, from September till now, it's only around 6 months. So the extension was actually 4 months, because the agreement from September
government, and we also mentioned that December was not December January was not actually an active month in terms of some of the constituents. So to that extent, it went a bit overboard. But just to say that from the Department of Health, we have been having meetings and also in requesting them to actually in some of the issues they use email just to fast track the process. But that itself has been a lot of metrics, not just the Department of Health, but the Department of Health. And the other issue around ERA and ENERA, which I think the committee is very, very correct to a certain extent, in terms of the timing that you have mentioned, in terms of the plan for the department that we are going to submit the bill in the cabinet in the year and in March. This investor is that actually has been dealing with the next leg through all the process. Federal advisor. That process might take a bit shorter. But to a certain extent, due to some of the difficulties, the committee might be correct to say that maybe we need to review the objective to add additional time to a certain extent, just to give the paperwork some time. But usually, like we did, if we have a problem, we have to meet with the paperwork, but even during the weekend, to make sure that we wrap up all this in the process on the legislation. And just to say that even though it's not a development of the whole legislation, it's more of the amendment, which then from the paper advisor, it might not be a debate from X in line with the next legislation on the process. It will just be in terms of checking in terms of other legislation. So we invest in this. But if the committee feels that maybe we need to give more time for this, I think it will be more, it will be better for the department so that they can actually put the mental process, even though we don't have to try to push it as far as possible and make sure that we achieve it. And also just to say that at the proposed date for next year, when we started addressing at the department, we thought that there might be a challenge around some of the issues that are mentioned by committee members, the elections and so forth. And as my colleague has said, we all also have to advise on that regard in terms of how we deal with that issue, especially and finalization and taking it to the parliament. And it also depends entirely on the cabinet, when are they ready to take it to the parliament. So one of the recommendations we said, and we will also be very glad if the committee can advise on us on the regard. And really, I have to think we, as the department, we really have done a lot, including the minister, the DG, the official, the prime minister, the network processes. We had individual meetings, we had the lobbying, we went all out to make sure that this process is finalized. And bearing in mind, there might be a lot of other interest, especially in terms of the amendment that you proposed from Metric. That includes even some of the issues around MPP, some of the issues around the structure, how should be the structure. So on that regard, there has been up and down in terms of ranges of some of the constituency as mentioned from the minister. But from the minister to the we have individual meetings with different constituents, different members to make sure that we have corrected. But I'm glad that you asked me to have achieved it and we will be done with it with the minister process because the main goal is really just about the final document to the minister, to the minister and to the federal advisor. And in short, we all echo thanks to our partners, especially in terms of the time issue in regards to this legislation. My colleague will take other questions, but I'll check if I forget something.
Thank you.
Yeah, we I think in terms of our direct bank, we also discuss the settlement bank. We then are also the settlement bank as a deal from the Department of the Market. We then request that we have a formal report on this or a formal letter to give the greater commitment of the government of the world for this.
Any follow-up on the members? Just a few other small areas for clarity from me. With regard to the Nuclear Regulator Amendment Act, Amendment D, you think this is an Amendment D, but under strategic focus, you think to set out the powers and functions of the regulator. Are you introducing something new or are you amending the powers and functions of the regulator? So to be clear. I know we've tried to do some explanation, but still, at the expense of asking you to repeat, you see, in terms of the ERA and the NERA amendment, the date of submission to the Committee of Parliament is the 10th of March. It's the end of March. And you think the submission, or you also are aiming that the report will reach the State Law Advisor by the end of March. The same process which state law advisors are you referring to tracking? We have our own legal advisor in Parliament. Now I just wanted to clarify here. Does the deal go through the state of law advisors before it comes to us? But when? Because we are referring to the same time here, end of March in both processes.
I think basically we have already to a certain extent informed the state court to advise by the date of it, just waiting for endorsement of the document that is the date or the document of the document on the paper. So the process as of now till March, we are expecting the document to be done by the state court advice. But around this time then we also immediately on the 31st of March, submitting some report and everything to start their process. So it's just a timing issue to do it. Just from the March, around March, we're having this work on the question. So maybe we can just clarify the date to say that maybe March, March, around March, but by the end of March, we're
thank you very much, Jeanette. However, honourable members, I have a few issues just to share with you and see how you feel about them. One, obviously, we need to take plans for each group because that PowerPoint presentation is not helpful. Maybe at that stage I should actually allow the committee secretary to share his experience because we have been breathing on networking last year. The issue of extension of the period to 5 months, I don't know whether in years you have anything. See, honourable members, quietly, I mean, you don't have to share everything. You need progress. We need progress. I've never made noise about it, but I've been sitting on a neck. But it's only today that I get to know that there was a request for 6 months. Maybe I recall. Just share with members what we've been doing, but still in the second half of the year. Mm-hmm. You realize why I want to keep them.
You are correct here. I mean, we've been firing with that leg. We got this briefing, the initial briefing from the department in March 2012. But even prior to that as well, firing with that leg for this relationship regarding the legislation. At that stage, we're too slow and we're here and there. And I mean, I've never been informed about the extension. I've been quiet now yesterday with regard to that leg with people on the here and there. And I mean, I got the response now this morning as well. So, yeah.
In fact, at some stage, the impression we were given that everything was going to be concluded by the end of November.
Yeah.
The impression that we was given that we were going to have things concluded by the around the end of November. And I remember one time when things were not getting clear, I just decided to send an email to check myself. That's when the whole issue of end of March came up. So, I think it's important that from now on, as a matter of practice, we get details of plans with time frame, deadline, or targeted time. You know, this stage of activity will be done with this stage will be done with this. The second thing I would like us to get is if you could articulate the reasons and impact of each delay. The reason that the impact of delay on each of the teams. If laws have a significant change in our socio-economic and political situation, then let's talk together about that. Yes, I understand NetLeg has got the rising platform to assist these things, but by the time bills go to NetLeg, they would have been a period for public comment. So quite in a number of instances, it's not all inclusive. The very stakeholders, they are having a second bite. They even have another bite here in Parliament because of the open up for them to come and specific make presentations here. So can we just get for each deal in detail, what are the reasons for the delay and what is the impact of the delay? The third area I would suggest, depending on outcome of all this, we may have to invite NetLeg and the minister. But please, do your best to fast track these two things, detailed plans and reasons and impact. It could give us that to us within a week, within 7 working days. Then, as a committee, we'll see how far do those things take us, whether we can live with them, because we don't want to bring the minister this time. It's easy, but if need be, we'll have to humbly invite it together with NetLeg that we see how. Because just out of my observation, I mean, we've been just having one delay after another. Surely there must come a time when things become to an end. We must be clear as to what exactly is the real, not the perceived, but is the real cause of this belief, and whether we've done our best as various stakeholders in those areas to ensure that it was successful. Actually, I imagine now, with the 28 service providers for the 47 people and the Windows 1, renewable energy, you know, group, in 18 months, they will start generating the first megawatt. I hope I'm correct. Even if I'm 5% inaccurate. But then, is there requisite legislation to enable that? Because that, amongst other things, the reason why some of the deals are in front of us. And I would like us, our committee, to be found in the firing line for not having enabled that environment.
I'm not going to show your hand. Yeah. Chairperson, I'm going to recommend a possible recommendation that maybe everyone says you might want to engage with the programming committee of parliament, that they should have, I do comment to them that they should have a meeting with the executive council of MetLife just to clear up issues. Without interfering, respecting the role of MetLife, we acknowledge there's a crucial role to play in our society. And the funding legislation of MetLife is very clear, giving them certain power. But just to clear up, because it's not, I believe the problem is not only related to this portfolio committee. It might be related to a lot of portfolio committees. I'll keep on giving you my experience of finance, because that's a portfolio committee that I've served in for almost 10 years. There was a bill to corporatize the PIC, the Public Investment Corporation. Participants from America, like a speaker leader, my comrades for my alliance comrades, you know, when we have this stated that this is in preparation to privatize it, and that this matter should be observed before MetLife. And the position of the department and the committee is very clear. This is about governance, changing the governance of this thing and corporatizing it. There's no major significant economic policy changes, and therefore we believe it's going to serve directly to Parliament without going by another. I'm just stating those facts. So I think it's important that we should ask the programming committee of Parliament to meet with Netflix and just to clarify these issues. Because it's going to hold some of the bills, you know, back unnecessarily. And I think it's a matter that needs to be resolved. It doesn't apply only to the state.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lord, for that. I'm sure myself and the secretary will work out a very, very short letter to the program committee to give that suggestion, not just for our benefit, as you say. Honorable members, if we are done, yes, ma'am.
Just one clarity question on page 7. Page 7 is the regional amendment. The strategic focus of the bill, according to the presentation, is to promote efficient regulation of the energy sector. What does that mean? Does it mean the current regulation of the energy sector is not efficient? And if we do so, to promote that efficiency, we are doing what? By changing which clause to what clause? Maybe what would affect you what?
It might be a broad statement in terms of the strategic approach. The whole proposals around the act, it goes beyond what was not on the act, which you mentioned, one of them, which is the IPP, in terms of the creation of IPPs within the industry. And then there are all other small issues that also mentioned. And that also includes some of other issues that include the expropriation of land for energy purposes and so forth. But in that regard, it's mainly in terms of regulation and making
operating name and the industry and more efficiently and so forth. And I guess if the committee wants us to focus in terms of the details of that regulation of some of those unfair changes in the regulation we can always do it. And maybe just to mention that maybe because of the committee, I thought we also maybe so that maybe Jefferson and if the committee feels that they can advise us in terms of dates depending on the commitment of the committee or some of the members take especially from now to next year.
No, fine, we'll engage, but please, as I've said, please give us detailed plans, and also the impact of the delays, because we've got to talk to some of the stakeholders in terms of wrapping up some of the people. You know, I don't know how many times the honorable members have been talking about the link between the ERA amendment and the voting. So at some stage that must come to a conclusion. In fact, I was shocked, not just surprised, I was shocked when I got a response from NEDLAC that they are going to conclude the NERA amendment, or the NERA amendment. Because I thought the impression has been made very clear to them that the NERA amendment is far more urgent. Not that the NERA amendment is important, but in terms of urgency. I suppose this is a learning lesson for us to be quite sharp and alert in the future. In future, now as a matter of practice, you have to give us a little bit more detail in terms of the plan for each deal you want to process. That will be helpful because we've got to try it. We're no longer going to get things based on trust and hope and faith. We'll track and monitor, quite closely, given the importance of any legislation. Thanks very much for that. Honourable members, I will tell you that we move on. Now, recently we've been presented with an event study by the CAP team, which looked at what you assigned the kids to do. Just once again, the ISMO Bill, public submissions on ISMO Bill last year were substantially indicating the need for immediate transfer of the transmission assets along with the emergence of ISMO, Independent Systems and Marketing Operator. I hope not all of you guys from the department are going to disagree. And we realized that that's quite a serious call. We need to respond to it. But the way we responded to it was to say, let's have an in-depth study. I know we've heard a lot of different terms on the old exercise, but I appeal that you conclude to talk about the in-depth study. On what does it mean to have the transition assets transferred with the immediate effect? Well, the CAP team has presented its results to us, and last week we did debate this matter at length, and what we have in front of us as a proposal now is a draft resolution as to how we can take the issue forward.
had, amongst other things, when I did the consultation with the legal services here in Parliament, one of the things they said that they would like to see being done is actually to have this drafting which is accompanying the deed once they've processed it to the House. Other members, I'm not going to spend much time because we have gone through this at length. Maybe just for record tables, I'll just go through it word by word. The Portfolio Committee on Energy recommends that the National Assembly request the Minister of Energy, acting in consultation with Ministers of Public Enterprises, Finance and Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, to A, investigate the feasibility and implications, including due diligence, of transfer of transmission assets, and to submit a final report to the National Assembly on 30th November 2013. B, submit bi-monthly progress reports to the National Assembly. And C, to ensure that the efforts on the restructuring of the entire electricity sector be expedited as a matter of urgency. The floor is yours, Honourable Members. Yes, Honourable Mloto, Khadebe, and Fredrik.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would propose a small amendment. No, just rearranging the sentence. It's not something major. Chairperson, on A, I would propose that the sentence should, is that rearranging? Conduct a due diligence to determine the feasibility and implications of the transfer of transmission assets and to submit the final report to the National Assembly on 30 November 2013. Because the way it's written, I think, yeah, it says investigate the feasibility and implications, comma, including the due diligence. Because the due diligence, I believe, it's going to help in understanding the feasibility and implications. So hence, I'm proposing that it should read as follows: to conduct a due diligence in order to determine the feasibility and implications, if it's appropriate. So to conduct a due diligence in order to determine the feasibility and implications of the transfer of transmission assets, and then we can continue the hearing.
I'm sure on the members as they make input, they will also respond to your proposed rearrangement. Okay, Honorable Khadebe.
I was just checking whether even that the date is too wide. I was probably the proposal that why don't you give them probably a time frame up until June? Because in a short sense, we want to ensure that this process get speeded up and get dealt with. Because I'm saying this because last time when we engaged with the department, they were in an aspect to say they've engaged with this matter and they submitted sort of a report to their principals. And their principals are still looking in terms of this matter. But then once we stretch up these days too long, you know, you need to give them a, you know, a relaxation. They're not putting too much attention to it. So I don't know. I was just in a proposal. Let's try if you can put it the date around June, so that they can look at this much. The other issue, Chair, I don't know how it's going to be, but the issue of the submission of the bimonthly progress report, they can be able to submit it to the National Assembly. And I'm trying to understand, into the National Assembly, what the fellow committee or National Assembly as in the House, because I just need to get an understanding. Because my other issue is that our approach, if you remember correctly, Chair, was that earlier, this other matter is also affecting the Select Committee. That must be able also somewhere somehow try to include it so that it, you know, it plays part and then goes to Martinez in terms of their presentation. Thank you, Chair.
I wish we could have called Mr. Advocate Vanara, you know, or is in another meeting, unfortunately. For those who know better, I think for the second part, Honorable Khadebe, your second query is much influenced or can be answered when you look at the status of the bill. It's a Section 75 bill. So if you could follow it on that level. But the first one, if I can just be quick, is that to say National Assembly gives it more weight because it goes through the Speaker's office. But obviously the Speaker doesn't handle everything, or even the National Assembly, It works through a committee system. At the end of the day, it's up to the National Assembly through the Speaker to decide which committee takes up an issue. Not necessarily in that broad, vague manner. Honorable Khaili?
Maybe, Chair, before Honorable Khaili, and also the issue that maybe why don't you clearly specify to say we transfer the transmission assets from where to where? So that this is the specification that you're speaking about, transferring this, you know, those assets from ISCOM to ISM. Well, if you don't have a specification, it becomes too much weight. Thank you.
Unfortunately, I would be rather reluctant on that. Let's look at the various options. Honorable members, if you remember, one of the recent workshops we were supposed to have had was to have shared experiences through the help of the International Energy Agency as to what other countries have done, you know, sharing experiences from other countries. There's no singular route. It could be from ESCOM to TISMO, that is the ISMO bus transmission. It could be from ESCOM to a TSO, that is a standalone transmission organization. If you want that to be articulated, I'd rather let's articulate that within eight so that the due diligence can look at those options. I'll be very loath to say we need to I mean, due diligence should show us, I mean, we're saying the feasibility and the implications. So it must be on that basis that both the executive and parliament, you know, come to a conclusion as to what route should that take. I should have allowed Honorable Failing and others. Remember, right now, there's been a lot of debate, you know, from various quarters. You know, National Treasury has already expressed itself in a specific route, and there are concerns from ESCOM, irrespective of what route would be you know, exercise take when it's ultimately triggered off. And who knows, you know, there could be other, you know, options or variations that, or permutations that other people could be, or individuals or institutions could be looking into or suggesting. One, obviously, on a part of it, you're right, it may be risky to have it too much open-ended, but I think the balance between making it a singular route and open-ended is at least to have to say then, why don't we look at options? And I trust and hope then members could also, you know, pronounce themselves on that. Honourable Fraley.
Thank you, Chair. I've got a couple of points to raise. The first point that I raised, which I think we probably all share, I mean, I feel extremely uneasy at this point in time with the kind of information that has been provided to us to now actually deal with the ISMA bill. Because quite frankly, I'm not sure what the implications are of both sides in terms of either the creation of an ISMA bill, which was originally prescribed in terms of the legislation that came to us, or even moving to a TSO. Both of these options now, from what has been presented by both Treasury and by ESCOM, seem to have huge implications which we haven't actually taken into full account. So my problem with the resolution as it stands at the moment is that it speaks to the fact that we will then pass the ISMA bill in its kind of present form with the changes that we might want to make, and we'll pass this resolution which will then provide us with information only on the 30th of November. At that stage, it probably would be too late to then bring back the bill to be able to deliberate on whether we now need to look at a TSO, if that's what the reports actually indicate, because we won't have enough time to do that legislation. So my recommendation in all of this, though, is to say that let's make this the year of electricity restructuring. We've already heard that these two other bills are coming to us, which we should actually also look at, and we should look at in terms of the big picture as to how all of these different pieces of legislation fit together. Let's try and understand what electricity restructuring means for the industry as a whole, what the implications are, and how these different pieces of legislation fit together in terms of bringing that about. And so what I would say then is to change this resolution to say, let's change the date to the 30th of June, same. So that gives them time to go ahead, look at all the implications, and be able to advise us on the 30th of June to say this is what it means in terms of an ISMA and in terms of a TSO, so that we can then make the final decision as a committee on what type of legislation we should be passing. And in the interim period, we can deal with the ERA and the NERA Act, and then also fully understand the implications of how that speaks to this piece of legislation. But what I would also say, though, and what I think isn't strong enough in this particular resolution, is that I'm very worried that the kind of information that's been generated by this working group at the moment, and certainly by the first report that we saw, is very ESCOM biased. And I say that with an open mind, but it's very apparent, and even Treasury brought this to our attention, that this is all about the impact that it's going to have on ESCOM. And what we actually need out of this is we need a complete due diligence report on what is the impact on the country as a whole. What are the positives of moving to a TSO as opposed to an ISMA? Because that wasn't considered at all in this report that ESCOM submitted to it. It only talked about the negatives to ESCOM. And so I think that we need to make it explicit that, in fact, the kind of report we are looking for has to look at the implications beyond ESCOM. It has to look at what this means for the country as a whole, what this means for Treasury in terms of having to guarantee an ISMA or not having to guarantee it if it's a TSO. All of those issues need to be unpackaged. And quite frankly, this process has been going on now for a long time. For over a year, we've given them essentially to come up with this information. And I think it's time for us to crack the whip, say to them, we need this by the end of June so that we can process this legislation this year. And we need all of our unanswered questions actually answered. Because right now, I feel very uneasy passing any piece of legislation given the kind of scant information that we've been provided with and given the kind of huge implications that both sides, who have differing views, in fact, have presented to us here. So I would propose that as a way forward, and I don't know how that would be seen by the rest of the committee.
Let me start with more a technical one. The first paragraph A, instead of saying on the 30th of November, I'd rather say by the 30th. So that if they decide to give it on the 25th, you don't say no. On the date, given the experience of the due diligence and all those indications, I'm not sure if it would be fair to say this must be done by PDF2. I would endorse the date of November. And to me, Honourable Lord does suggest is not changing the content, but it's emphasizing that all those are important. So I'll endorse that proposal. On the last one, C, just to put an A there as a matter of urgency. Thank you.
Madam Lord.
Professor, I would want your assistance here. I think, I'm not trying to complicate this sentence further, but I think I'm just a bit concerned that we might have a situation where I'm trying to debate this thing in my mind and come to a resolution is difficult. We say they must conduct a due diligence in order to determine the feasibility and implications of the transfer of transmission and assets and start with them forward. Now, the question is, if they do a due diligence, come up with all the implications, and say it will be difficult, I don't know, I'm just, because the problem that I have is, remember the high impact study that we mandated them to do didn't come with recommendation. So this is the point I'm debating in my head, whether the feasibility, the word feasibility, would then entail having the recommendations being put before Parliament. If the word feasibility would address the issue of recommendations, then I'm happy. Because I'm worried the high impact study didn't come with any recommendation. That's just my dilemma here. And then, Chairperson, on C, maybe we need to have a bit of a discussion here. On the restructure of the electricity sector as a whole, my question is, what is the outstanding area that still require restructuring? Is it not distribution? Don't we have to be specific? Because you are also asking the Minister of COCTA to be involved in this process. I would assume that from the generation side, I'm not knowledgeable about these issues, we have introduced the IPPs, and we say there must be space for the IPP. The debate currently is on the transmission assets. So we are requesting the executive, led by the Minister of Energy, to deal with the issue, to go and investigate the issue of transmission. I assume the last leg would be distribution. If that's the case, then we need to be specific on C. I don't know, Chairperson, that's my view, that maybe if that's the outstanding area of the restructure of the electricity industry, then the distribution industry, that's the last leg, then we need to be specific on C.
Okay, let's just dispense with a few things so that we left with the strategic issue. The restructuring process, a bit now, I don't know whether this is your forte. It has already been, it's already on the cards of the department. It's not something new to them. Hence, proper right, the emphasis should be as a matter of urgency. We should see concrete things coming out. I'm looking at you. Is it new? No, just nod or shake your head.
It's not new.
So, I unless they are not happy with that assumption, because the assumption that they're already handling it, but we want them to be expedited. But obviously, on the other hand, you know, if I can just share a few things with you, other than looking at distribution, even if you unpack the distribution itself and linkages, ESCOM is both a generator and a distributor, the same thing. Now, the introduction of ESMO definitely, you know, triggers the need to do some further restructuring.
you know, and the question, if I can, I can put it in that, put it that way, is that would ESCOM remain a generator and a distributor, even if it, it shares distribution together with municipalities? But how tenable is that, you know? I mean, those are the kind of things that need to come out of the restructuring, you know. But also, also, if transmission has got to have a certain destination, you know, how is it located, and what impact does it make in the whole, you know, electricity sector? So, one would be thinking of those things, but also basing on the assumption that they are already seized with the thing, but now we're going to put it on their net, and everyone is as well. Hence, amongst other things, it was a late thinking to say, no, look, let's bring in the Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, because municipalities, you know, have got to be, their role has got to be clear, you know. Even just to pricing for that matter, I mean, if you hear issues that have been raised recently during the MIPT3, you know, public consultations, you know, without making any judgment of them, you can see there are certain signals that show that municipalities have got a role to play, which should be integrated in the restructuring drive.
Help us on the issue of Honorable Khaylem on the day, because we shouldn't be start recommendation. When is this being provisionally scheduled to be debated in Parliament? The reason I'm asking this question, if this bill was supposed to be debated in 2 weeks' time, then I would go with the 30 June. I wouldn't have a problem. I wouldn't have a problem with the 30 June suggestion. But the challenge is this bill is going to be debated around May, then the 30 June would not be feasible. So you might then be left with the option of September, October, November, whatever. But I'm just saying that, that the date of the debate is crucial, because my understanding is that this is the resolution that accompanying the bill as it is being debated in Parliament. So the date is going to be crucial for to consider to address the issue of Honorable Khaylem.
No set date.
So the challenge, if there's no set date, the challenge is that, with my own experience, this bill would not be debated by the end of April. It's more like talk, unless the department has got a provisional date.
No, it's in our hands.
No, I
leave it
with the man.
Okay. whatever position you would adopt is in our hands now. Honourable members, can I provoke something? Take into account what all of you have said, and before the strategic issue. You know, the reason why there was the suggestion of November is the experience we've had last year. Initially, we were talking of a high-level due diligence. We're very, very insistent that you don't want a detailed due diligence. That's scrap things on top, give us a signal, you know. Can this be a smooth sailing, or would it have complexities and complications? So I came back with the fact that, look, it's going to have complications. Complexity. Why? From time to time, we kept on pressing the task team to have a shorter period for that impact study, but from time to time, they kept on resisting that. Now, to me, if it took them 6 months to do it, and even at the end, it was, they had to submit the report without some of the principal looking at it. In fact, by the way, because we had 1 day free during our visit to Swane last year, I decided to call the task team. Even there, one could sense that, once they were working hard, but, it was still a work in progress. It was on that basis that one felt, no matter how much pressure that was given to them, they had to go through various stages to through ETUPCOM or through various issues through ETUPCOM. Now, we're not asking them to do an impact study. We're asking them to do a due diligence, a thorough due diligence. Now, one would like to have excuses from the task team to say we're not given enough time. Then they would vacillate back and forth, and even include the excuses of saying that we didn't go to our principals and things. But obviously, if you put in a final date, I mean a set date, then it would be a set date. I just want to highlight that. Not that I'm not taking. I'm also quite concerned that we should do this within record time. Other members. Let's look at the various inputs that have been done up now today. Fundamentally, we would like the entry of the IPP appropriately facilitated. And amongst them is the introduction of the ISMOBIM. In terms of timing, the guesstimate is that within 18 months from now, we'll be having the IPPs commissioning their first electricity or generating their first electricity into the grid. But at the same time, I'm sure we all agree, we would like to see a better environment enabled for them, and amongst them is the ISMOBIM. Now what I want to put to you as a question is that should we then look at the appropriate timing in terms of concluding the deal itself? Or is the argument that rather let's delay until everything has been addressed? But then I'm throwing an additional question. What are the implications if we may end up finishing the whole process pretty close to commissioning of the electricity by the IPP? Would that not have impact? I strongly maintain we would have to let's brainstorm those questions and see exactly what's the best option for us.
You have to rebuild here, having a lot of similarity. You have the electrification or electricity restructuring, which is result in a different kind of institution than what you have now. But you also, and we should also create an environment for the IPP. Equally, you are, the minute you do that, you are also amending the electricity regulation bill. You are also amending the national energy regulator bill. So it is possible to handle these three bills at a go. The problem is we are seemingly in a hurry to pass one after the other, and I'm not sure how much time we have, because I do not see us even being able during this term to to implement whatever we shall have asked of the state. We are left with pass at the end of the day. But if we should pass, we can pass them all at the go in one system. When we speak to this one, we say, how does it speak to that one? How does it speak to that one? And if we are agreeing on a particular kind of insertion, that insertion automatically goes to the three of them. It amends the other multiple. And where we have something that needs to be dealt with in a particular bill and not in another bill, we deal with that. In other words, we can take the three bills and say, what are the things in common? Which areas are you going to change two bills and not one? And in which areas are you going to change only one bill? And then you have a work plan. And we begin to move in that way. By the time we say we pass this bill, we pass the three of them at the go. And at that time we have dealt with the issues because there are a lot of similarities. They are all bills from the same department targeting the same energy and targeting the same participants. So they are not going to have to call separate different participants when we deal with this or that. It's the same participants, the same activity, goes in the same direction. I think that's what we do. Rather than to be in a hurry about the ISPO and later on we want to amend the ISPO after we have amended the regulation, the regulatory framework bill. Why don't we deal with the regulatory framework and we deal with the establishment of the infrastructure in line with this? And as we move, they speak to each other harmoniously.
Well, that's one option, but it doesn't help us to indicate what impact will it have in terms of the intentions, or amongst others, one of the key intentions of the bill, to ensure that it enables the entry of ITPs. That I'm locked on and Honorable Freddy.
Chairperson, I think we did pose this question to Obi Afan, and Obi indicated at that stage that ISMO is a standalone bill. You can still continue with ISMO and then deal with the other bills later. So we can verify that information before whether that's the case. But I recall very well that he said we can continue with ISMO. ISMO is a standalone bill. And then you can still process the other bills later. So I think it's important to deal with that. But the other issue, we can process this bill, ISMO. And it's up to you and Chairperson, it's up to you and Ariko to determine the pace of passing it in the House. So we can process the bill, finance the bill. If you feel that there are some outstanding issues that we are not clear about, especially from Nira and Kira, you can hold the bill and then determine the pace of introducing it into the House and not report into the House immediately. But I think because if you want to process all the three bills at the same time, it's going to be very difficult. Because to conduct public hearings on all these three bills, you'll find that at some point you're going to face a gridlock. You know, the way is just going to be too much and we try to manage. So I would still suggest that we process this in this one, and at the same time, let's verify in the department. I'm not sure whether they are aware of this position of OMP, whether it's correct, because OMP said this is the standard. And last Chairperson, without digressing from the question that we are supposed to have, I just want to establish, you know, because Honorable Khalil also raised a concern about knowing the implications of this bill to the country as a whole. The question is whether the weight implications in the resolution, would it not be broad enough to be addressing those issues? Because the implications might be financial, legal, and whatever. I'm not sure. We can amplify that, but I'm not sure whether the weight implications would not be general enough to be able to address those issues. The mere fact that we are saying the Minister of Finance should be consulted, the Minister of Finance must indicate those implications. And I assume, Chairperson, from your monthly reports, it can also indicate whether they are addressing things that you want to be addressed.
Yes, I think one should take cognizance of the fact that you're saying, particularly as spoke to Slav's point, that if we want to ensure that the deals are handled simultaneously, we just have to be cognizant of the logistics, because it might create a gridlock. Although we may be innovative enough to look at how we can line them up. In any case, Honorable Khen.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just to answer Honorable Malota's question. I mean, my problem with the wording at the moment in the Section A is that the fundamental question that I want answered is not a report that investigates the feasibility and implications of the transfer of transmission assets. The fundamental question I want answered is a kind of cost-benefit analysis of having an ISMA and having a TSO. Because here we put in the emphasis on what are the implications of transferring the assets. I want to know also what are the implications of not transferring the assets. That also needs to be investigated. But it needs to be investigated with this legislation in mind. And my problem with this process at the moment seems to be we'll pass the ISMA bill, even if it has dire consequences of not being a standalone entity with its own asset book. And we'll live with that until this report comes out at the end of the year that tells us, well, you can or you might be able to transfer the assets at some later stage. Then it's a question of, do we call the legislation back? Do we then amend it? Do we then pass it? That's a very messy process in terms of dealing with this issue. What I would argue, and I understand the issue around the backlog of legislation and how that could lead to logistical problems, but my recommendation would be let the working group go away, do its work for the next 6 months, okay? We can get bi-monthly reports on that. But in the meantime, let us pass the other two pieces of legislation if we think we can do it in that time period. Once we pass those two pieces of legislation, let us then revisit the question of an ISMA and a TSO once the working group comes to us in June and says this is our final report on that. And quite frankly, I think we've given them more than enough time so far. So I think even giving them 6 months is generous, but I think let's do it because this is an important issue. And then we can come back to the ISMA bill. Then we can actually finalize the question of whether we should create an ISMA or TSO. And to me, the fundamental issue is about ultimately we do want a TSO. Ultimately, that is what we want to head towards, and I think Treasury indicates that too. You want a standalone entity that can ensure its own contract that doesn't need Treasury backing. The big question is do we want to have a phased approach or do we want to have a clean break? And that's what's got to be reflected in the kind of investigation that gets done by this working group report. So that would be my recommendation. Let's give them 6 months to do that work. Let's finalize the other two pieces of legislation. And in that period, we'll also gain a greater understanding of what needs to be done in terms of electricity restructuring in South Africa. And so, as I said, let's make this the year of electricity restructuring. Let's make sure we pass all three pieces of legislation, but let's make sure that we make the right decision, knowing full well what all the implications are when we pass those different pieces of legislation.
Honorable Rotter, the last before we take a tea break.
Chairperson, I think we have got to the discussion on the option. Option one says process the legislation in the deal, and then you mandate the working group through this resolution. If you are in any agreement, do further work on the transmission assets, understand the implications of this, and if there's a need to amend the ISMO bill, then you amend the ISMO bill and come up with the TSO. I think that was the agreement. Of going that route. Option two was to say park it. Once you park it, let them do work on the transmission assets. Once they've done the transmission assets, we start the process again and come up with a new bill. Well, amend the current bill, which is still in the parliament
option two was to say, well, leave it, this thing to the working group, and the working group said to us that we might not be able to complete this process by the end of the year. So, which means we're going to election session next year, so the bill might not be passed. The new parliament that will deal with this problem of whether they want the TSO, that was the two major options. So I think Chairperson, I'm not sure we might have to whether we want to reopen that debate again, but that Chairperson, that's the debate. The debate, what do we want? Option one, say process the bill, let them do work on the transmission asset. I assume, maybe I need to speak on behalf of option one. I assume that by the time they complete the transmission work next year or whatever, even if it's for the new parliament, this model will still not be implemented. So we can continue with that work. But option two says park it, and we don't know when it's going to be finalized. So that's the debate, Chairperson. Because as making assumptions that we can hire people to finish work in 3 months, you have seen it. I told you that time. I said I was the sole voice, and I need to say it again. I was the sole voice who said your deadline of June was not feasible last year. Because I said I've never, even in my private work, I've never seen a QGB just be completed in that time frame. Impossible. I've never seen it. Because the due diligence by its nature is so detailed. You have to go into the financial aspect of it, the legal aspect of it, so it may be financial, legal, and those issues are not going to be easy to resolve. It will take your time. So I've said, and the technical aspect, obviously, the three aspects. So I said it last year that your deadline of June is not feasible for a due diligence. I will still say it again, Chairperson. Your due diligence, if you think you would have them one of the due diligence by June, forget it.
Honourable members, keep it clear.